News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
The Israeli military yesterday carried out further strikes on Gaza, a move that raised concerns about the fragility of its ceasefire with Hamas. The IDF have said it conducted the strikes on what it called terrorist infrastructure. And here is Dr. Morten Rostrup, a Médecins Sans Frontières doctor at Al-Haqsa Hospital, who is treating those injured in the blasts.
77 patients admitted to the emergency department in Al-Aqsa Hospital today. 41 male and 36 female. There were 31 children among the injured patients coming here. 15 people were killed. I must say I was pretty shocked to see what was going on. This was an attack deliberately on civilians. What is going on? Do we really call this a ceasefire?
And that was Dr. Morten Rostrup there from Médecins Sans Frontières. And I'm joined now by Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst and co-founder of Red Matrix Productions. Good morning to you, Sean. Can you answer that question? Can we really call this a ceasefire?
Yeah, good morning, Ciara. It's a rather difficult situation, isn't it? I mean, I think it is still a ceasefire because both sides, at least publicly, say that the ceasefire is on. But it's incredibly fragile. I mean, the truce agreed sort of 2 weeks ago. There's lots of elements here. We probably don't have time to dissect it all. But it's pretty clear that Israel, from Prime Minister Netanyahu's perspective, he knows that once the war is over, he faces all sorts of domestic issues. And there seems to be no rush to get the war to an end. And Hamas is clearly mobilizing some of its fighters again to reestablish control of the Strip, largely, it appears, because the stabilization force, which was part of Trump's 20-point plan, hasn't been put in place. Therefore, you have a void and nature abhors a vacuum. And it appears that that is starting to unravel.
We had on the show yesterday, Sean, Dan Pfefferman, a Middle East security analyst and former IDF intelligence officer. Now, his position on all of this was that this is Hamas's fault, that Hamas had fired on Israeli positions near Rafah, that Hamas, as you say, were rearming, that Hamas had not returned the remains of hostages as agreed previously and had returned, rather grimly, some remains of a hostage whose remains had already been returned. Is that a valid argument in your view? Is there fault on both sides? Or how would you view what's happening currently in Gaza?
Well, first of all, I'd say, Ciara, I don't know how you guys have survived it, but certainly as a military analyst, I've ended up being pilloried by both sides in this because it polarizes discussion. You're either with us or you're against us. So Hamas has their narrative. The Israelis have their narrative. But the people that are suffering in the middle are the Palestinians, it seems to me. And therefore, you're not going to solve this by military means. It's got to be solved by political means. If you look at the specifics of it, though, I mean, Israel, understandably, their voice says that Hamas hasn't returned all the hostages. What is interesting from my perspective is that it was the living hostages which gave Hamas leverage. They gave up all of those, and that was quite a surprise. Yes, they also agreed to give up the bodies of those who died. That's clearly very important to the families of those hostages. But if you look at the wreckage of Gaza, it's no great surprise. And also, look at it through the other lens. There's a load of Palestinians who are also wanting to bury their dead. But they haven't got 13 hostages remaining. They've got thousands, potentially tens of thousands, buried under the rubble. It's a tragedy for both sides. And that doesn't seem to me to be a valid reason for continuing the fighting. As regards Hamas and gunshots and the like, who knows? There does seem to be several rival groups to Hamas operating in Gaza. And therefore, that's why the stabilization force was so important to stop that just descending into anarchy, actually in the Strip itself.
And on that note, without a stabilization force and with, as J.D. Vance described them, little skirmishes occurring, on that note, without a stabilization force, do you see much prospect for success long term in terms of a peace plan with this ceasefire?
Unfortunately, Ciara, I think the fighting for both sides, there's visceral hatred now between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And a little bit like a boxing match, you need a referee in the middle to hold them apart at times, to allow the dust to settle, to allow tempers to cool, and then allow, you know, common sense to prevail. And at the moment, there doesn't seem to be anybody doing that. And the only person who is commenting on this is obviously President Trump. The trouble is, he isn't an independent voice. A referee has to be an independent voice. He is not independent. America provides the security guarantor for Israel. It's not a supporter of the Palestinians. And therefore, it feels like the core ingredients of what you need to drive a peace process, which will be incredibly difficult even with everything in place. But unless you have something in place from the Arab side, whether it's Saudi Arabia, Qatar, or another country that stands shoulder to shoulder with America, and therefore jointly sets about finding a solution, holding the warring parties aside until such time as a solution can be found. At the moment, the core ingredients aren't in place, and that doesn't bode well for the long-term future of the peace plan.
Look, thank you very much for joining us with that, I suppose, slightly bleak take on what is happening currently in Gaza. Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, military analyst, and co-founder of Red Matrix Productions.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.